Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
First this morning, the government is expected to place a motion of confidence in the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, tomorrow to face down Sinn Féin on her record. The vote will take place tomorrow, and while the government is expected to win, behind the scenes is the coalition as united around the Justice Minister in private as it is in public. Well, Jack Horgan-Jones is political reporter with the Irish Times. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Claire.
So first I want to ask you about this news as reported there in the news bulletin that the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan is saying now that he won't need to come back from COP28 in Dubai for this confidence motion. We understood that he was going to fly back. Much was made about the emissions as a result. But he is now, we see, arranged a pairing with Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats. My understanding was that couldn't happen unless somebody wasn't well. Have you heard anything about that?
I have to confess I haven't. I was just hearing it for the first time myself on the bulletin. And you're right. I mean, as recently as yesterday, the Taoiseach was saying that under the circumstances of a confidence vote and the fact that Eamon Ryan is obviously one of the leaders of the coalition parties, he had no choice but to come back. Now, they seem to have devised some way to give him a choice overnight, because not only was there the discussion about the emissions of, you know, the flight over and back to Dubai again, there was also, I think, a sense of frustration. It was clear from the media appearances that Eamon Ryan had over the weekend himself while in Dubai that he was missing out on 2 days of what is very intricate and involved and technical work, and very much the kind of work that I think that he relishes and sees as an important part of the Greens being government and him being a delegate to that conference. So I think in one way it's not surprising that they managed to manufacture a choice, but in another way it is kind of surprising, you know, because all the signals have been that there would be no choice and that he would be flying back. But they managed to find a parent, Jennifer Whitmore.
We'll find out more about that as we go on. That report has just come in from RTE's George Lee, who is there at COP28. Are we expecting this to be quite a torrid debate, though, tomorrow?
Yeah, torrid but not tight. I think that when you put down a motion no confidence, you know, there are several reasons you can do it. You can do it because you think you're going to win. You can do it because you think you're going to, you know, erode the government's majority or perhaps expose a weakness in the underlying kind of effective majority. I don't think that there is a chance of either of those things really happening. So the only reason that Sinn Féin kind of would have had to do this would have been to extend the kind of news cycle and the coverage of the riots in the hope that that would erode some voter confidence in the government. But there was polling over the weekend that kind of showed a bit of a rally to Helen McEntee, and you know, in fact, that her popularity had gone up since the last time a specific question was asked about her. So it's kind of floating around looking for a political imperative, this motion no confidence. And I think in the absence of one, what you're likely to see is an extended version of some of the stuff that we saw on broadcast media over the weekend, with Fine Gael in particular and Sinn Féin just standing opposite each other and taking lumps out of each other and strongly criticising each other. And I think that you'll see a lot of that in the Dáil tomorrow.
And how solid do you think the support is within the coalition for Helen McEntee?
I mean, it's not in question on this particular issue. There's nobody who is going to risk collapsing the government over a vote of confidence in the Minister for Justice at a time when there is seen within the ranks of the coalition to be a very strong argument for political cohesion on this. That's not to say that she is without her own internal critics in government. Certainly there is a camp within Fianna Fáil around kind of Dublin TDs and Dublin senators who have been critical of her performance on law and order issues. But I think that's perhaps indicative of their sense, you know, A, that they do believe it, but also that it could be a kind of wedge issue, a grounds of differentiation between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in the capital come the local and Europeans and the general election next year. It's not, I think, a substantial head of steam building behind that kind of idea that would lead any or all of them to even consider anything other than voting confidence and verbalising confidence in her around this particular vote.
All right, but let's move on to some of the other issues that are around today. A severe shortage of accommodation for people seeking asylum in this country. Is it expected that at some point this week, Jack, we're going to officially run out of accommodation for those people?
Yeah, I think so. Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman was out yesterday and he was asked about this and he said that while they were able to accommodate everyone up until last Saturday, I don't think we have an indication of whether or not they were able to accommodate everyone yesterday, he said that it was likely that they would run out of beds effectively to offer to single men who are coming here seeking international protection. So that's the traditional asylum seeker route as opposed to those coming from the war in Ukraine. And that they were developing a suite of contingency measures which involved talking to homeless organizations. Now, there's a question of whether homeless organizations actually have an obligation to international protection applicants, which remains to be fleshed out, but also looking at enhanced financial payments, presumably to allow these people the means to either, you know, purchase themselves warm clothing. It's a lot colder now than it was the last time this happened, or perhaps to find themselves some form of accommodation. So it looks like that payment will go up from 38 euros per week to what we don't know. There was some suggestion yesterday it could be around 100 euros per week, but I'm not sure exactly where it'll end up. Either way, you'd imagine it'll be nowhere near enough to get them certainly a hotel room, but perhaps if they could find a hostel bed and a homeless hostel or something like that.
Will they be given assistance to find somewhere to stay if they're given that financial payment?
So certainly there's an interaction as they come in and seek international protection. There's an interaction with the state where they're given a whole load of information, and I think that their contact details are kept, and there's an effort to keep in touch with them so they can be offered accommodation in a state-provided setting as and when it becomes available. And I'm sure as part of that interaction, they will be given any and all kind of assistance or information they can be to provide, or, you know, where they might find a bed in the private sector or in the homeless sector. But you can't magically bed out of nowhere. And, you know, people have ended up on the streets before, and I think there's a very real possibility, if not probability, of that happening again.
And we're talking here about people seeking international protection, not people coming from Ukraine who are under a different system, aren't we?
That's correct, yeah. So there's basically kind of two parallel systems. There's a pre-existing international protection system, which was more or less built around direct provision, and there had been an effort and a plan to take apart the direct provision system, which has totally been lost really at this stage to the impact of the huge surge in migration that the country has undergone over the last as well. And then there's beneficiaries of temporary protection who have immediate rights to live, work and claim benefits here, and also like to add to the government backed accommodation or state provided accommodation. It's actually the second aspect, it's the Ukrainian end of things, where there's been more discussion of reforms recently. You'll remember last month there was that big blow up at cabinet over, you know, whether there would be a term limit put on how long these people could stay in state-provided accommodation. That seems to, again, have disappeared into the ether. And it wouldn't, even if those reforms were brought in, it wouldn't make any difference to the acute side of the challenge that has been presented at the moment, which is on that IP side. The problem that they're facing there is that, you know, they're always under pressure, but they're finding it more and more difficult to find communities where they can actually open up these large-scale accommodation centres that they need, the most recent example being the very strong resistance that we saw and you covered in your programme yourself then in Rathlair.
Yes. Now, let's talk about what's happening in politics again, because the Fine Gael Senator Regina Doherty, we heard over the weekend that she might run as an MEP candidate for Dublin. She's expected to contest a seat in the general election when it comes in Dublin, Fine Gael West. Now, do you think, looking at it, that will be a tough one to get through, a tough selection process to get through? Because there are other names in the hat already for that seat.
Yeah, there's no shortage of people in Fine Gael who seem to want to go to Europe. So alongside Regina Doherty, who's a former cabinet minister, obviously current senator, and is the first, I believe, publicly declared intended candidate, you have a whole host of names running from Colm Bofi, the former Minister of State, to current Minister of State, Josepha Madigan, and also taking in people like Senator Barry Ward and former TDs in the shape of Noel Rock and Kate O'Connell. So it looks like, you know, some of those people will, I would imagine, inevitably fall away as internal polling maybe diminishes their interest in it and makes clear that they might not have much of a chance. But I do think you'll have a contested selection convention when this happens, I believe, early in the new year. Which will be interesting, because obviously one of the outworkings of this is if a sitting TD was to run and take it, then you have to have a by-election before December of 2024. That would shorten the odds on an earlier than expected general election, perhaps born in 2024 rather than 2025.
And for someone like Regina Doherty, who has already tilted her hat at a Dáil seat, as I said, in Dublin, Fine Gael West, like, could that impact her chances if she has run in the European election and then decides to go back to the general election and run as a candidate there?
I mean, I'm kind of skeptical about that to an extent. I mean, I think the most important thing, if you're in Regina Doherty's position, is to make sure that your constituency organisation and the people who kind of nominate you and would go out and knock on doors for you, that they're squared away and appraised of the plan. In terms of voters, I'm not sure the voters would see it as a particularly grievous sin to want to be elected in two elections. And I think that it wouldn't necessarily, if she was unsuccessful in either securing the nomination or the seat, I don't think it would necessarily diminish her standing or capacity as a candidate in that new Fingal constituency, which is based largely on name recognition, you know. So I don't think it would massively deplete her if this endeavour to get a on the European ticket, you know, if it doesn't come to pass for her.
And Jack, the other big story that a lot of people were talking about at the weekend was this report from Bloomberg that Pascal Donoghue might become the next managing director of the IMF. Now, what's happening? What have you heard? What do you know?
Well, really, we only know what Bloomberg have reported, and we know the kind of the shockwaves that have sent through Fine Gael, and some excitement as well within Fine Gael, because obviously were this to come to pass, there's a world in which it opens up several jobs to be handed out, which always applies to politicians. But when it comes to the substantive matter at hand, whether or not he is on manoeuvres effectively, early stage campaigning, looking for potentially a tilt of becoming the next MD of the IMF, that hasn't been denied. They've kind of dissembled, they've constructively said, you know, he wants to run in the next general election, or he will run in the next general election, he will serve at his term in the Eurogroup, both which would seemingly preclude him from going for this job, which starts in September of next year. But if that is the case, how come they haven't totally scotched this? How come they haven't come out and said, absolutely 100%, this story is without foundation, he has no interest in the role in the IMF? And the suspicion, I think, is that they're not doing that because some version of this may well be true. And the question then is, how does this play out? Does this become a burning issue that has to be addressed? What does the opposition do? Do they start criticising, calling into question Pascal Donoghue's commitment to his current job? Or does it kind of play out in the ether and just kind of form part of the background, mood music, and there's a hope in Fine Gael as well that he might be given time and space to pursue this because it would be such a glittering prize for Ireland. I mean, I think we all know that time and space are premier that are in low supply within politics. So I suspect that at the end of the day, they may need to actually have to come out and answer this and either say 100% it's not happening or, yeah, he is interested.
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky position for him to be in. But for Fine Gael, it's a real headache if he goes and leaves his constituency seat, because that would be a very tough one for them to win.
Really difficult, yeah. I think that the Bloomberg candidate would be Ray McAdam, a councillor of long standing there, but that doesn't get away from the fact that Pascal Donoghue's vote there is very strong and very personal, and I'm not sure that Fine Gael as a brand would necessarily be strong enough to carry through somebody in Dublin Central. Now, we've had predictions about that seat being lost before, particularly around constituency redrawings in, I think it was 2016, when the verdict or the word on the street was that, you know, Pascal Donoghue was going to lose his seat, absolutely, and he fought back and reclaimed it. So, you know, the chattering classes can all be wrong on this, but it was Pascal Donoghue who fought back and reclaimed the seat. So there's a potency to his kind of political brand that's important there as well. And I think that certainly there'd be an uphill struggle to keep the seat if he were to leave.
Jack, thank you for all of that. Jack Horgan-Jones there from the Irish Times. Now, let's get more on that breaking news this morning from Dubai, that the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, will now not have to fly back to vote in that confidence motion in the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, tomorrow. He said that he had been offered a Dáil pairing arrangement by the leader of the Social Democrats, Jennifer Whitmore. He has said this morning that this will enable him to stay on and continue his COP28 work rather than having to rush home for the vote of no confidence in the Minister for Justice. Only yesterday he said he'd have to abandon his work and his attendance at COP28 for 2 days to return for the vote. Well, I'm joined by Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrats TD for Wicklow and member of the Oireachtas Environment and Climate Action Committee. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So I see here in this report I'm just reading that the Minister says he was contacted last night by yourself and you offered the arrangement which would free Eamon Ryan up to continue his participation in Dubai. So what happened?
Yeah, look, over the weekend I've been becoming increasingly concerned about, I suppose, the language is coming out of COP. And, you know, when you look at the UAE and essentially saying that there was no scientific evidence to phase out fossil fuels, that kind of language, that kind of narrative is making me quite worried as the environmental spokesperson for Social Democrats. So I had a discussion with my party leader, Holly Cairns, on the issue, and obviously matters relating to climate and environment are incredibly important to us, and we've had a discussion over the weekend to essentially work out, you know, we decided to offer to Eamon Ryan a pairing, and what that would mean is essentially that Minister Ryan would be able to stay at COP. He wouldn't have to come back for 2 days for the vote.
We were under the impression, though, that this was not allowed in this sort of a vote, that the only reason you would be offered a pairing in a confidence motion was if the person who was due to vote was not well.
Yeah, and I did see the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, made those comments. My understanding is that that's a convention that Fine Gael may have, and it's not necessarily rules of the door. So, you know, I decided just to make the offer to Minister Ryan anyway. And, you know, he has discussed it. My understanding is that he's discussed it with the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, and they've both agreed that it would be advantageous to take the offer up. So I think, you know, I was surprised to see that Leo had actually said that, and obviously it is just a convention rather than a rule of the door.
Mm-hmm. And did Eamon Ryan talk to you about whether he felt it was important for him to be there as a leader of a coalition party, to be there in person for something as important as this?
Well, I mean, our discussions were based on text because obviously he's a number of hours ahead. So we were just texting backwards and forwards. But I think it's clear that, you know, it's really important that Ireland is represented in COP. And to break the continuity of those discussions, for him to pull away for 2 days, you know, just doesn't make sense. I mean, essentially, the pairing won't have any impact on the outcome of the no confidence motion. We'll essentially just cancel each other's votes out. And I think, you know, it's certainly worthwhile doing that to enable him to stay in COP in Dubai for those 2 extra days so that he can put a solid climate focus on Ireland's representation.
So do we take it from this and your decision to contact Eamon Ryan and make this offer that both you and the entire Social Democrats Party support the Minister for Justice?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we've always been clear that, you know, we really do struggle to see how anyone could have confidence in Minister McEntee, particularly not just in relation to what happened on the riots, but there has been problems for, you know, a number of years with antisocial behaviour. There's been problems with the growth of the far right, and none of these have been tackled over many months and years. And, you know, that is within the remit of Minister McEntee. So it is very difficult to see how anyone could have confidence in how she's performing her functions. I mean, clearly, I mean, there would be no
how does this work then? Do you vote confidence in Helen McEntee both for yourself and for Eamon Ryan?
No, I just don't vote.
You don't vote.
I don't vote. So similarly, Eamon Ryan isn't voting, so I won't vote. And what that means then is that the numbers voting will be the same on both sides.
Okay, but
so we essentially just cancel each other out.
Okay, but you have very strong views, clearly, on Helen McEntee, and you're willing to give that vote essentially to Eamon Ryan.
No, I'm not, because it won't actually change the outcome of the vote. So what? Because we will be cancelling each other out.
Is democracy not about making your voice heard? And if you have a very strong view on something, to silence that voice because you want to give a coalition party leader the opportunity to stay on at an event in Dubai, how does that serve the people who you serve?
Well, I mean, I have a really strong commitment and opinion on our climate crisis. I mean, it is the biggest crisis that's impacting us at the moment. And the people who voted me in as someone who, you know, my background is in environment, my background is in climate and ecology. So, you know, people who voted me in absolutely have the environment as one of their top priorities. So, you know, this is, as I said, it's not going to impact the outcome of the no confidence motion. That will remain the same because we're just cancelling each other's votes out. But what I am doing is that I'm also facilitating Minister Ryan to stay and push forward on very important climate matters, particularly for people in the global south who are going to be absolutely impacted by this climate crisis.
All right, Jennifer, we need to leave it there.
Someone there discussing that.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's Jennifer Whitmore. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.